Hi, my beautiful queens and kings. It is your one and only Queen Deesh here. So I have a special guest here for you, wonderful, lovely listeners of mine. I have Queen Shelly Mache. So say hello to us, Queen.
Hello, hello, everyone. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm going to tell you, Queens, just a little bit about her, and then I will let her tell you about herself in her own words, okay? So Queen Shelly is a certified life purpose coach, international speaker, and best-selling author. She is the founder of the organization, The Powerful Woman. And let's make sure we get the spelling correct. Power, P-O-W, capital H-E-R, F-U-L. Woman, the powerful woman. Okay. Some of her features include Yahoo, Bustle, Bakersfield News, Peace of Mind with Taraji P. Henson, Shalondaland, and more. So let's just go ahead and snap it up for our queen that we have on tonight.
So, my goodness, thank you for having me.
Just, listen here, this is not a tribe where we shrink or minimize ourselves in any way, honey.
Come on now.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay, so Queen Shelly, if you would, in your own words, tell the ladies listening here, and we do have some men from time to time, but, you know, we have our queens listening, tell them in your own words who you are.
Yes, I am Shelly Mache. And again, I am a certified life purpose and confidence coach. I am a wife, a mother, and I have a passion for women. I have a passion for seeing women excel and reach their unstoppable. So I help women do that. I help them tap into that unstoppable. I help them address their inner voice, and I help them reignite that passion, because so many times we get lost as women, and we kind of step off of our queendom sometimes because we're so busy pouring into everyone else. But my passion is to ignite your passion so that you'll remember who you were created to be, and all of those things will be able to flow together. So that is what I do. That's what excites me. And that's my calling. Women are my calling, and I love being able to connect with them.
Absolutely. Oh, I think we love you already too. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how did you get here? You know, my listeners and my intention, you know, I don't bring only celebrity people on here. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the everyday woman, because at the end of the day, we're all alike. And we're all going through the same things, right?
Yes.
Maybe at different times, but we're generally going through the same thing, or we're going through something somebody else is getting ready to go through, right?
So everybody is touching on the same parts.
Everybody is, right? So kind of tell us, how did you get to where you are now? What was the journey for Queen Shelly to this space?
Was actually kind of funny, because really my entire life, I've always been that person that people come to, people want to talk to, people are looking for advice from. And so God literally had already set me up in that position before I even knew about it, because I was already walking in it, not knowing that this is what he has called me to do. But when I ended up really understanding who I was and where God positioned me to be, it actually came from me crashing. It actually came from me not knowing who I was, because I had decided to stay home with my children. I had been a single mother for about 7 years, and having her being daycare and not being able to see her until 7 o'clock at night. And then we have to eat, do homework, you know, and do all of this all over again. So when I got married and got pregnant with my second daughter, I told my husband, I'm like, is there a way that we can do this where I can be home? I was working in the entertainment industry at that time. And so, you know, we reworked everything. What I didn't know is that when I left that job, I was leaving identity. And I had no idea, because I had been wrapped up in the titles instead of molded in the purpose.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I found myself in the mirror, Queen. I found myself in the mirror in a full breakdown, because I was so-and-so's mother. I was so-and-so's wife. I was so-and-so's daughter. I was so-and-so's prayer partner.
Right.
You know, but who in the world was this person that everybody wanted a piece of? I had no idea. Complete breakdown. In the bathroom every other day, boohoo crying, mad at my husband because he's out living and I'm stuck, you know, in the house. Wanting some adult company because I do toddler talk all day long. Okay, can somebody talk to me? And I crashed. Yes. And then what happened is all of the insecurities that I had, they just jumped on me, including from an abusive relationship. Everything that that person has said to me, I began saying to myself, because I hadn't dealt with the residue that was still there. But it was okay, because after I was completely broken down and didn't know, that's when restoration began to happen. Mm-hmm. Because I had to look at myself and I had to say, who are you, young lady?
Yes.
What were you made for?
Yes.
Whose report are you going to believe? Who created you? Mm. And that's when the building came again. When I began to go, what do you love about yourself? Mm-hmm. What do you like about yourself?
Yes.
Can we start there? Can we just start with, is this something you like? Before we get to love, is this something you like about you?
Yes.
And I had to begin talking to myself, investing in myself, making time for myself, understanding that I was a woman long before I was somebody's mother, wife, friend, or anything. I was Shelly. And I had been created with a design, and I was going to find out what that design was.
Ooh, honey. Oh, so many women can relate to that. Oh my gosh. And this is why I have my guests, you know, kind of talk about where they came from and their journey, because you get to see yourself in so many of us. Right.
Yes.
As I said, everybody's kind of going through something or has been there, is going to go through it. And we're all on this journey together.
Yes.
We're trying to learn. We're trying to do the best that we can.
We're trying to figure it out.
We're all trying to figure it out.
We're trying to figure it out with the lie that we're supposed to be perfect at it.
Thank you.
So we need to erase that. There's no perfection in human form. And so if you are a human at all, all in any way, shape, or form, I just want you to know there's no perfection in it.
Did you hear what she just said, Queens? There's no perfection. I mean, you guys know how many times I have said that on this podcast. If, you know, especially for my faithful followers, you know how many times I have said it is never about perfection. Mm-mm. It's just about progression.
Yes.
Progression.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And Queen Shelly, you just heard it from her. Okay.
Absolutely.
There is no perfection in the human form.
None.
It doesn't exist. Okay. So when we're on here, you know, trying to give you nuggets about our journey and things that are working for us, and, you know, trying to give you advice to help you become your best self or get you on that path, on the same path that we're also on, trust me, we're speaking from a place that's transparent and vulnerable and honest. It is not about perfection. I don't have it all figured out. Do you have it all figured out?
I don't have it all figured out. And I am a life purpose coach.
Hello.
And I like to let people know I have a coach in case anybody wanted to know.
Thank you.
I have somebody who I go to.
Thank you.
Like, do I have this figured out? Am I missing something? Did I not do this? Blah, blah, blah.
You.
Can you help me layer this of what's going on here?
Thank you.
I need someone to help me walk it out. I need someone to help me think it out. I need someone to go, hey, Shelly, don't forget them tools that we did. I'm like,
exactly. I'm so glad that you said that, because, you know, we've talked about so many times that sometimes there is, unfortunately, and especially with us, sort of a negative connotation or stereotype about getting help. And help from, whether it's a therapist, it could be a psychiatrist, it could just be a life coach, right? There's such a negative stereotype around that. You know, why do you think that is? Why is that so hard for us?
You know, if I can speak from the Black community, if that's okay. And for a lot of us, and it's so funny, because when I did that segment on Peace of Mind with Taraji P. Henson, I talked a little bit about that stereotype that comes with the Black woman is so strong.
Oh.
And it almost like, you know.
I know.
Like we don't feel pain. Like we're not supposed to be vulnerable.
We're not supposed to.
We don't break. And so when we have this connotation that We're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to be able to take care of our children, take care of our home, take care of ourselves. Superwoman. You know, we're supposed to be able to put all the baskets on our back, and you're supposed to do it with a smile. Well, then I decide to go get therapy because I'm not smiling. Now, am I less than a woman? Right. You know, and right. do I not have the qualifications? Am right. I a bad mom? You know, am I crazy? You know?
Right.
And so we still, and it's breaking free, which is what I love. It's breaking free where we're like, no, what you are is human. And what you need is somebody to help walk you through and declutter some of those thoughts. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I think the more we keep having that conversation, right. that there's nothing wrong, because I fell into that. I needed therapy really badly and I never got it. I fell into a huge depression, but because I grew up in a Christian home, because of all of the stereotypes that come with being Black in the Black community, I never felt that I was worthy of seeking help. See that word right there. I didn't think I was worthy. I didn't think I was supposed to. I didn't think I deserved to. I'm just supposed to walk through, because that's what you do. You pray and push. And again, anybody who know me know I love Jesus. So I pray, please. But there needs to be something else added to it.
Absolutely.
Pray and seek some therapy.
Woo!
Pray and seek some therapy.
Absolutely.
Pray and work. Pray and self-reflect.
Yes.
Pray
yes.
and heal.
Pray.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
Because I know we are really about to go in.
I'm done, Queen. I'm done.
Oh, we are about to. I was like, oh, I feel we're about to go in. So let's woo out that for a second here, because we are about to go
in. I'm bringing it back in.
Right. I felt it coming too. But you know what? Listen, Queens, she's talking the truth. You know, I know my listeners vary as far as demographics and nationalities, and I love everybody the same, you know, so, but we cannot take away certain things that are in our community. Okay. And what I certainly have a problem with, and I'm going to leave it at this so we stay on track here, is what you were sort of alluding to, and growing up in a Christian home and sort of that stereotype within our community. And it's just, you're supposed to pray everything away. So there's no practical advice being given to you to help you with what you're going through. And that's what I have a problem with. Mm-hmm. Nothing practical to help you. Pray. It's like this, you just pray and wait. It's always just pray and wait on God. And that is not helpful to me. That's not helping us.
All I could tell you guys is it didn't work for me. Now, at the end of the day, did God bring me out? He did. But what I'm saying to you is I wouldn't have had to go through, I believe, what I went through had somebody said, it's okay. When I opened up to someone and told them, I'm having these thoughts, I don't know what to do. Do you know what that person told me? And I told them in third person, you know, I know someone who. Because I was afraid to.
Yeah.
And their thing to me was, you need to get away from her because she crazy. And she, you know, she don't have God and she got demons. Well, that I was crushed.
Yeah.
I was crushed. So yes, God himself was the only one who brought me to the other side. But with that, later I got the knowledge of it didn't have to be that way.
Sure.
I could have leaned on you and.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Right. Because we're not trying to listen. We're not here to
offend anybody.
Offend
not here
anyone.
To,
you know, no. Your beliefs are your beliefs. However, remember, we are speaking from our perspective and, you know, how things have worked for us. Right.
Yes.
And it is fair to say that for me, I had to come to my own awareness, and God is there. But guess what? So is therapy. So is a life coach.
Absolutely.
Other resources in addition to prayer.
And that's all that I'm saying.
All that she's saying. And that's all I'm saying. So we'll leave it at that. Just what I would say, you know, ladies listening, is that it's important for you to take care of yourself at the end of the day. You know, self-care and self-love is so important. And while there may be some negativity and, you know, negative stereotypes around getting help, just know that that is a resource. You know,
absolutely.
That is a resource if you are open to that. And I can only hope that you will open yourselves up to that and get away from the negative stereotype that's around it. Because I had a coach. She has a coach.
I certainly do.
I have gone to therapy. Have you gone to therapy?
I haven't. I haven't gone to therapy in the actual medical sense.
Sure.
I've actually sat down a lot of times with friends to say, I need you. I need somebody sure. to hear me. But when I tell people I'm such a huge advocate for it, I'm actually looking for the right therapist because it right. takes a little bit of time. Yes. But so if anybody's out there.
Right. Right. So again, I'm just showing you, ladies, is that we're both human and we're just like you and we have issues.
Yes.
Life happens to us just like
life
you.
Life happens.
And we all need help sometimes, right?
Absolutely.
We all do. We all do. So don't feel like, you know, you're the only one that's going through what you're going through. And oh my gosh, if I go sign up for a therapist or a coach, something's wrong with me. Oh, nothing is wrong with you, ladies.
No.
You're human just like we are. I promise you.
Absolutely. Because what did we say, Queen? There's no perfection in the human form. So at some point in time, life is going to become overwhelming.
It is.
And we need the tools to be able to move from one side to the other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So talk to me. I heard you say that, you know, there was a time when you were depressed. And especially after these past 2 years, I think everybody is through it, feeling it. You know, I'm pretty positive a lot of things have come up for a lot of people that have surfaced, you know, that were probably suppressed within them. How did you kind of navigate that? What was your process in kind of taking you from A to B for that?
Wow. I wish I had a real process to tell people for the time that I fell into depression. I had no tools. Mm. I had no one. I literally, and this is where I became so, just even thinking about it, it's just like builds up all over again.
Sure.
But where I became so secluded and where I decided that I had no value is I began having suicidal thoughts.
Goodness.
And it was just so loud. It was so loud that I didn't want noise to stop, which is strange because I'm not a person who likes noise. I love silence. But in the silence, it was tormenting. Mm. And I remember one night, oh gosh, you're gonna get me all emotional.
No.
But I remember one night after I put my daughter to bed, and it's like I knew that the silence was going to bring this tormenting all over again. And I laid out on my living room floor and I was in a fetal position, and I literally had my hands over my ears and I was rocking back and forth. And I just looked up and I just told God, if you really love me, you'll kill me. Mm. You know, oh, goodness.
Take a moment, because I know there are so many women in that place or they're getting to that place. And that's why I'm here and we're having this conversation, because we need this level of transparency and authenticity and vulnerability, because so many of us are hurting and suffering over not having the conversations that we should be having. And people are feeling like, I have to have it all together and I have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, it's just me. And how come I'm not here? And it's just like, stop it. Just stop.
Yeah.
This right here is showing you, we are just like you. Everybody is going through it. We're all learning and trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure it out the best of what we know how and what we were taught.
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. It was such a dark time. And then being a single parent at the time, you know, that was, it was just another level of emotions that were added to me. And I didn't want my daughter. The only thing that really kept me from taking my own life was I never wanted my daughter, and I thought about this consciously, I didn't want her conversation to end in my mother committed suicide. And that literally was the only thing that kept me. So I was in so much pain. I just began asking God.
Sorry. No. Don't apologize to me. Don't you dare do that.
It was such a dark time. And because I didn't want her to ever have to end the sentence like that, I just said, well, if you do it, then nobody will ask questions.
Right.
You know, my mother, she'll never wonder, like, if she did anything. Because she didn't. She didn't. And I want people to know we're not trying to be selfish.
No.
We're not trying to hurt anyone.
No.
We just want to be free.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And we don't see where that freedom is.
Yeah.
And it's just so much to bear. It's so much to bear. And, you know, and I thank God every day that he didn't grant that request, but I need for people to know those of us who suffer in depression, or those of us who are suffering from suicidal thoughts, or those of us who've taken the step and have survived suicidal attempts, we're not trying to hurt you. We're not. We're trying to find some peace.
Right.
That we just, for some reason, we can't seem to find.
Mm-hmm. I not only resonate with that, I know there's a lot of the ladies listening that also can relate to that, especially after these past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm gonna try not to get emotional. And I will say that, you know, I lost my mother. I lost my mom. A year after, I lost my sister.
Oh, God.
I'm still dealing with that. I'm still in grief right now. Like, I'm still dealing with grief right now. Because I just buried her in September. Mm. So I couldn't fathom and put the pieces together to think that here I am a year later in a limousine driving to another funeral for the one person I would have never in a million years thought.
Wow.
And my heart broke for mom because of her heartbreak and losing my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
You know, and so there's just, when you say you're trying so hard to find peace, oh, I understand. 100%. You know, I didn't try to take my life, thank God, but I made the joke. I said, y'all are lucky I didn't lose my mind after all this.
Yeah.
Because
it's the truth though.
It is. It's like, that's a very heavy burden. It's a very heavy weight that I don't think people sometimes understand really what that's like if they've never experienced that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, for somebody close, not just, you know, somebody, right, but like close, your person you grew up with, you see every, you talk to, like,
right,
and that is just taken from
it's you just right
completely abruptly. And then I had to do it again. I'm not really sure how I'm here. I mean, I know why and how, because of all the work that I'm doing on myself. And thank God I'm on this path of personal growth and personal development, because I think had I not been in this space, I probably would have gone off the deep end. If I didn't have, if I had not done all of the work that I've done on myself in this, you know, self-help industry per se, I think it would have been a lot more difficult, you know, to deal with. So when you share your story so beautifully and so vulnerably, know that I am grateful, and I know the ladies listening are grateful, because we need to be talking about our stories, right? We need to be sharing.
Yes.
Because it's also healing. It is also healing for you, for me, for them. You know, there's power, of course, in our words, and when we're sharing our stories, we're able to connect with one another, and we can be here for one another, right?
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it any better than that. And again, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful that I'm here. I couldn't see that at that time.
Sure.
You know, I couldn't see it, but I'm very grateful that every time I wake up, that I've been given another opportunity to use my gifts, to use my talent, and to make someone else smile.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you being the life purpose coach that you are, talk to us about, you know, how a woman who may not have any idea, you know, what she's on earth for, you know, what's maybe a first step for her, you know, in trying to figure out her purpose and maybe, you know, what she should be doing. What's kind of a first step for her?
The first thing that I love to ask any of my clients when I work with them, I ask them, tell me about yourself. And it sounds like a very easy and simple question. But what happens is they begin with, I'm a mom. I'm a this, I'm a that. I work here, I do there. And I listen to everything and it's awesome. And they smile and I love the conversation.
Right.
And then afterwards I say, tell me about yourself.
Right. That was coming.
And they're like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Right.
Tell me about you. And I find that many of them get a little emotional because they never even realize that when they're telling me about themselves, they're not telling me about themselves.
Right. Right.
And no one really has asked, no, I want to hear about you.
You, right.
You, the woman, tell me what you enjoy. And some of them will sit there, kind of like I used to do, and they will sit there and go, I'm not sure. Because my, you know, my last 10 years, 12 years, 20 years, whatever, has been consumed around these titles. I'm this employee, or, right, you know, or I'm even over this particular business, but right, I'm unhappy. I'm right, a CEO and I'm not fulfilled.
Right.
So we go back to, tell me, what do you like now? And if you don't know what you like now, what did you used to like?
Mm-hmm.
Childhood holds the key to so many things.
Yeah.
So many things. What could you do as a child that, you know, time just slipped away?
Right.
And you would be surprised at how many huge smiles come from that. When women just remember, oh, I just used to love to sit outside and eat ice cream, but they don't understand there's a connection to that memory.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so strong. For all you know, you could become the next ice cream taster,
exactly,
you know,
exactly,
because there's purpose in things that we don't, you know, connect to.
Right.
When we think about purpose, we like to think of, oh, I need to, you know, find the cure for cancer.
Exactly. Or save the planet, like Oprah.
Save the planet. And what you're not understanding is your purpose could be your mouth. You are the most positive, loving, wonderful person. And so you speak life into those around you. Do you know how much purpose is in that?
Yeah.
So I love to ask that question. And that's where you begin. You have no idea where you are. Ask yourself, tell me about yourself, Shelly. What do you like? And write it down because you'll be amazed how you forgot. You forgot the things that you love and bring it back to childhood. Did you used to enjoy sports? Why? So once we figure out some of those things, we begin doing what I call emotional association.
Okay.
And we begin connecting the emotions to the activity to see if they align with passion, purpose, or just hobbies?
Ooh, I like that. And I absolutely agree that there's power in writing stuff down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We forget so many things. Right. And now that I'm in my 40s, I forget even more.
No. Oh my gosh, I know.
So I'm constantly like, what was that thought? What did you say again, Shelly?
Right.
And you would be amazed, even if you write yourself a journal. I love the exercise that I do with women of writing to your future self.
Yes.
And yes. I tell them, don't write to your future self of 5 years. That's too far. Write to your future self of next week.
Ooh.
What will you look like next week?
Oh, and that's so good.
Yes. Yeah, we don't, like, that's too far. That's too far.
That's so good.
What does next week look like? Write to her today. Write to her and tell her who she is next Friday. What does she do throughout the week? Does she read? Does she go watch a play? You know, does she take this nice bubble bath? What are her thoughts by next Friday? Because now we can better see ourselves
right
in the future.
Oh, snap on that one, honey.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't heard that one. Oh, yes. You guys heard it from Queen Shelly.
Our future selves. But don't wait. Your future self is tomorrow. So why are we waiting right to the 5-year lady? Right to the lady in 7 days.
Ooh, right to the queen for next week.
Yes.
Ooh.
What's she gonna be doing?
Right. I never heard. Ooh, I haven't heard it going that way. Oh, that's a nugget, honey. Oh, I love that, queens. See, this is why I have my queens come on there, because there's always something that we can all learn and take from each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because we're pretty much, I would almost say conditioned. Usually that's a pretty common thing to write 5 years, you know, five years. But no one has ever said, well, what about just next week?
Just next week. And again, you have to remember, these are things that I needed. So I couldn't think about what 5 years Shelly was going to do. You're asking for too much.
Yeah.
I need to know what's going to happen in the next hour. What's going to happen in the next 2 hours? So when I saw my future, I literally just had to see, child, my future is next weekend. Let me see what's this going to look like. That's too far. Y'all asking me for too much.
That's so funny. Oh my God. I love that. So I would say, well, I definitely stand behind journaling.
Absolutely.
It works for some women. It doesn't work for some women.
I love it. I love journaling.
Yeah.
And it's something that I'm really animate and passionate about. So I always encourage all of my clients, they probably get sick of me saying it, because I'm like, well, did you try your journal? Have you written in your journal? Well, what's next week woman look like, you know?
Yes. No, I like that. Some have a gratitude journal. I know some people have like a goal journal. Do you have like multiple journals or kind of one for everything all in one?
I have about 6 different journals going at the same time, because my mind is constantly going. So, you know, I'm writing the things that I'm grateful for. I'm writing out who is this woman for next week. And because I'm able to go further now, I write out who is the woman at the end of the year. I have a birthday at the end of the year, so it's an amazing time for me to reflect. So I'm writing a letter to her to see where she's at the end of the year. In my frustrations, I'm writing in my journal, because I need to know where I am mentally. So, you know, if I'm angry today, I need to get these thoughts out and figure out, you know, where's the root of things. So now after that, so there is kind of like a step by step for me. So I just have notebooks everywhere. My daughter just said to me yesterday, she's like, is this yours?
Oh my gosh.
She's like, here's another notebook. And I was like, one doesn't belong to me. So now.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So is that something that they now incorporate in their own lives?
Neither one of them. I don't think either. No. And maybe it's because I have papers everywhere, you know, and they're constantly like, but yes, every single thing. But I encourage them all the time, you know, get a journal, write in this, or do this, do that. So I don't think either one of them, you know, they're old now. So I'm like,
okay.
And I still don't think they do it. But it's so funny, because when they come back and I'll be like, did you try that journal? They right. go, mm. They're like, mm.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Roll of the eyes, mom.
Right. Like, I guess maybe I'll try to write something. My youngest, she used to, for her own time with herself, she actually used to do poetry. And so that was her time to write. And she moved away from it. But she said not too long ago, she's like, I really think I like that. Because actually what I had done with her is I said, you have to have 30 minutes a day where you go away. So that was kind of like, no, you have to do this. So whatever you do in that time, you know, get together with your thoughts. I would do journaling. So she didn't, but she ended up doing poetry. And so recently, maybe, I don't know, maybe a few months ago or so, she said to me, you know, you forced me to do that. She's like, but I think I want to get back to it. Okay. I said, see, it'd be something in it when I say stuff.
I know. So if there is a woman that, let's just say she's not really open, she's not in a space right now that she's open to journaling. Is there something else that you would recommend for her?
I do. I recommend talking.
Okay.
Just talking. And that's in two forms. Just talking, like just talking out your day.
Okay.
You would be amazed at how talking out your day really gives you better clarity. I have talked out ideas to myself because I couldn't get it out on paper. And so I just start talking as if somebody were in front of me. Absolutely. And literally I've talked myself into ideas that I didn't know that I had. Ooh. And so then I go journal them. But just from talking, what happened throughout my day, you know, did things go well? Did things not go well? Were there any altercations? What are you going to do later? So just talking. The second thing is still talking, but it's actually recording yourself, because we just don't remember the things, you know, that we say. And so to have that, to be able to go back to that, just on your phone, just on your smartphone, and just to record, hey, this is what went on today. This is what happened today. You know, of course, there's no right or wrong, because women always ask me, well, how do I record? There's no.
No right or wrong.
No, you just press it.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you say. It's right. yours. Yeah. There is no, you should say this or you should say that or it should be formatted. It's just you. If you get on there and say booga booga boo, great. Maybe there's a song in it.
Right.
So those are the things, because I do have ladies who just say, I'm not a good writer. Right. And so I go, that's fine. Can you speak?
Right.
You know, can you just get in the mirror and talk to yourself? Or can you just sit down and just take some time and talk to yourself? You know, most of the women absolutely love journaling. But that is an alternative that I do offer, or, you know, or let them know. If you don't, there's still another space. It's okay.
Okay. Well, you heard it here, ladies. I understand everyone's not a good writer, or it may not come to you to write first. So Queen Shelley said, you can just talk. You can talk in the mirror. You can just talk to yourself as if someone, you were conversing with someone. Mm-hmm. Just let it out. Let the energy out.
Let it out. I used to do it in the car because I had an hour ride from work.
Okay.
So, you know, that was kind of my downtime and it was my downtime to go over my day. And so you know, instead of keeping it in my head, then I would just talk out my day. And again, through talking out my day, sometimes I was able to release some things. Sometimes I found ideas, you know, but again, I like talking to myself, you know, so.
No, buddy, I wish I talk out loud all the time. Sometimes I talk to God.
So, you know, I'm constantly talking. My bathtub time, they already know. If they hear a full-fledged conversation, they just like, oh, hey.
Right. No, seriously. And
I get lots of ideas in tub time, y'all.
Yes, I love that. No, seriously, ladies, you need to do that. Like, there's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. Like, you know you the best, right?
Yep. And so I spend time trying to chit chat with that woman. Exactly. And tub time works, because people leave you alone. It's just you, your thoughts, maybe some soft music.
Right.
All kind of goodness come out of tub time.
Hello. Well, which that goes back to the self-care, you know, women needing to make sure that they're doing something every day. Can you just touch on that really quickly again?
Every single day. And this is why I teach my clients the art of understanding what self-care principle fills what emptiness. Because I just want you guys to know, all self-care doesn't work for all situations.
Yes.
And I'll give you an example. When I've been out and I've been speaking all day and I've been interacting with people, I'm mentally drained. So I'm mentally tired. So a lot of times, you know, maybe you enjoy shopping. So being mentally drained, let's say you go shopping, but you still feel mentally drained. Well, that's because you haven't been able to identify what self-care goes with what depletion. So when I'm depleted emotionally and mentally and just exhausted, my self-care that I need is silence, 15 minutes of silence. It doesn't matter where it's at. It could be in my room, in the dark with silence, no music, no TV, nothing. It could be sitting in the tub, silence. It could be sitting in the car, 15 minutes of silence. That's the self-care act that replenishes the depletion of that particular emotion. And until we understand which self-care replenishes what we need, then we're always in some form or fashion going to feel that we haven't refilled that emptiness.
True.
So that is what I teach my clients, how to associate and connect that through that emotional association.
Ooh, I like that. So everybody asks, because maybe tub time may not be what somebody needs.
Exactly. So while it's refreshing for me and it helps me when I've had a mentally draining day, for you, tub time could signify, you know, fun, because you like to be in there, you know, hey, splashing it. So for you, it's not going to replenish that, but maybe it will replenish anger, because fun counteracts the anger in you. Sure. So now when you get in the tub, if you feel angry, 30 minutes of tub time for you does it. If I feel angry, 30 minutes of tub time ain't gonna
doesn't
do nothing.
Do it. Right. That's funny. Right.
But make me think.
Right. Just find what works for you, ladies. But the principle is that every day you need to do something for yourself.
Every single day. Every single day. You need to make sure you're doing something to replenish. You know why? Because every day we're depleting, and we don't understand that. Every single day when you get up, you're depleting parts of yourself. So every single day before you lay down, you need to restore it.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So of course I happen to see the book that you wrote with your, as it looks like your daughters.
Yes.
I love that. So can you tell us about that book?
Yes, that is my book, Power Minds, and it's reflective thoughts of a power woman and her legacies. And the reason I wrote that book is because I used to do quotes on Facebook. And so people begin asking, hey, you know, where can I find these quotes, you know, that you have? I love these quotes. And I'm like, girl, you can't, them are mine. But they were things that I was speaking to myself. There were things that I was speaking to my daughters, you know. And so together, we decided to grab some of these quotes and put them into a book. And I broke it down to you, the woman. So quotes that feed you, the woman of God, things that God has spoken into me that I'm going to give to you. And then the woman, my fellow woman's keeper. And I absolutely, that's probably the one that I adore the most, because it's me being able to take words and give life to you. Like I've said before, I love women. Women are my passion, and I want you empowered.
Absolutely.
I want you to see your beauty. I want you to know your value. And so I believe that I'm part of that in your life. And when I don't know how to speak to you, then I tear that away from you. And so I only want to speak life into your being, because you've been created to just be unstoppable and soar. So I want to be an asset to that and speak that life into you.
I imagine, can they get that on Amazon? Or?
You can actually get that on my website, shellymache.com. Okay. Yes, you can get that right on my website.
Okay. Ooh, yes, honey. You know, I'm all for that. Hello. Queens don't settle, honey. Can we just...
They don't. You know, and we shouldn't be a part of trying to make them. By not knowing how to properly speak to them.
Hello. Hello, somebody.
Because I'm not going to accept if you don't know how to speak to me, okay?
Hello.
I know that I rang. So you can't come over here and talk all crazy. Exactly. I'm going to have to say, you know what? Unfortunately, you don't know your position yet, so you can't respect mine. So, absolutely. You know, when you're able to get yours,
right?
Let's reconvene.
Right. When you ascend to your queendom, then we can have a conversation.
We can do it one more time. I ain't putting you out. I'm saying let's redo this later.
Oh, that's so funny. Hey, listen, you are who you hang around.
Yes.
You are who you hang around.
Now, that's a mouthful.
And since you are the queen here, I want you to quickly talk about that. The importance of who the ladies are surrounding themselves with and how that can affect them. Because what we just said, honey, you can't come to this side of queenness and think that you're going to talk crazy to me. No. So let's talk about that for a second, right? Because not everybody listening is in that space yet. And that's what we're trying to get her to rise higher.
Absolutely. I love a quote that my youngest daughter said when, and it's not in the book, but I wish I had included it. And part of it, I think, came from her own journey. And she said, "I'll float with you until you learn to swim." And that was the most beautiful thing that I had ever heard, because some women can't swim yet. Mm. And so instead of me trying to force you, you know, start swimming, she says, "No, let me float with you. And then together we'll begin." Mm-hmm. So she still puts it on you. She says, "Until you learn to swim." So that's letting me know I'm going to have to learn how to swim. But until you do, I'm going to float with you.
Right.
And so I love that quote, because it actually touches on support and people around you. And who to keep around you. You want some people in your corner that know how to swim. Mm. You want people who know how to swim, because if all we both can do is ever float, we ain't going nowhere.
No going nowhere.
We're not going nowhere. Ooh. We just going to sit in that water and paddle. And who wants to do that?
Preach, preach.
So you need to have some people in your corner who already know how to swim, because you need to be able to see. Remember, we're looking for that woman of next week. We're looking for that woman, yes, of 2 weeks. We're looking, yes, for that woman of 30 days.
Yes.
So who can already swim? Mm. So that I can look at them and go, "Oh, wow, we're connected." Then you need some women who are like, "You know what? I can swim, but I don't want you to have to see me over there. I want to be next to you so that we can do this journey together. There's some people in your corner who you need to be able to trust to do the journey with you. Mm-hmm. So I need people who could do the journey with me. And then I need people who've already done the journey who I can look at, because I need to see where I'm going. But I also need somebody to take me by the arm and say, "I'm going to walk it out with you."
Mm, all right now.
And you need to know what type of support you need. That's one more thing that I want to drop here, because we always talk about, "I need support, I need support, I need support." But if you can't tell me the support you need, you have to stop putting that responsibility on me. It's not my responsibility to figure out your support. How does
it? Right.
You need to know that you can only float right now. So I need somebody, you know, who can chill. You need to know, "Hey, I know how to do the backstroke, but I keep, you know, falling or whatever. I keep sinking. So I need somebody to show me how not to sink." What do you need? Mm. We don't want to waste nobody time.
Right.
So you need to know what type of support you need so that you can know who is supposed to be in that circle.
In your corner.
Yes. And then you need to be comfortable changing that circle. Don't ever be uncomfortable repositioning people in your life. Ooh. Our seasons change. Reposition the people.
I can't stay in
the same position. So guess what? I can't stay in the same position. And if you can't come to the position, then I need to reposition.
That's easy. Ooh, I feel like, you know, we're women and we have so many complexes and negative conditioning. And it's like, what do you like, reposition? And then now you feel like guilty because, okay, you've outgrown this person. Like, what am I supposed to do if I don't have anybody now? Because now,
see, that's why I say we have to reposition, because what that means is maybe that particular person can't be your core 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the people who influence you the most. Yeah. But maybe now the reposition in my life is when I need that self-care of going out and being with my girls and not, you know, not having to think about anything. Yeah. I've repositioned you. So okay. as I reposition, I feel new position. Okay. So we don't always, when I say reposition, it's not always people have to leave our life. It's people have to have a new position in our lives. I can't hang out with the homies who like to get high on the corner if right. I'm trying to be a CEO.
Exactly.
But if I still like to smoke a little weed, maybe I could get with you once a month. All I'm saying is
reposition. Right. Okay. I think
if you do feel like you've outgrown them, then that's another level of where you have to say, no, I need to remove myself. I never put anything on the other person. I'm never putting it on you.
Okay.
I need to remove. And when I begin removing myself, our time, it more space comes in between.
Right. And it allows for the right people to come in.
And it allows for the right people to come for that season in my life. Your season is going to change.
Yes.
And you need to be okay with repositioning as you position.
Boy, look at here. Woo. That is it's serious. I try to tell people.
It's not easy. This is something that we learn how to do. This is something that we learn when we are learning how to cultivate our voice, how to cultivate boundaries, how to have a healthy manner, say no. So this is not something that you wake up and be like, girl, you number 63 now. No, it don't work like that.
Right.
It don't work like that.
Right.
It works with little things by saying, no, I can't go hang out this week. So that I could get used to like, oh my gosh, I just said no. Ooh, are they going to be mad at me?
Exactly.
So we're building to that point.
Building that muscle.
Exactly.
Building that muscle.
Exactly.
Because I know women with the guilt complexes that we have.
Absolutely.
Negative conditioning. I can just see a woman just feeling like, oh my God, I just said no. And now I don't have this person on that. And you wake up one day and then you look around and it's like, well, where is everybody?
Right. But when we learn how to place people in positions, then it becomes easier because just because you're not my go-to for business, that doesn't mean that you're not my support system.
Right. Right.
So what position do we play? And if you're my support system, you're always going to be, you know, in that position of support as long as we're friends or whatever, you know? So it's just, and it's a thing again, it's about us learning how to say yes to us. And it's hard.
It's hard
for us to say yes to us. We feel so guilty. If we buy ourselves a box of cheeses and don't share it, we feel like, oh, dang.
Right. Yeah. That's all the way back to childhood. Think about how we were taught. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh,
it's completely retraining ourselves. And that's why this is a journey.
Yes.
That's why it's a journey. And you don't have to put a time stamp on it the way life wants to make you. Society says, well, then you should do this or you should do that or you should feel this way. There's no time stamp. It's
a journey.
If I can look back and see, oh, I see where I've grown in this area. Oh, I haven't grown in that area. Pat yourself on the back.
Right.
Wonderful. So now maybe next year you'll try that area.
Exactly. Growth.
It's a journey.
It is. And this is going back to why I always say it is not about perfection. It is just about progression.
Exactly.
Progression.
Exactly.
We should be progressing.
We should be progressing and we should be able to see it. Yeah. I shouldn't come December 31st. I should be able to see some things, some growth somewhere, somewhere where I planted seeds. There should be some flowers, some fruit, some vegetables, something.
Right.
The garden should be empty.
Right. At all. Exactly. Gosh, this is so much good. So many good things that you have mentioned. I know that the ladies are getting a lot of good stuff from you. So I want to pivot here because this is something I do for every show here. And we remove the seriousness for a second and we go into just a little bit of fun, break up the monotony a little bit.
Okay.
So we want to know, Miss Queen Shelley, what is your favorite food?
Oh my goodness. Let me see. I think right now, my favorite food is probably chicken enchiladas. I love chicken enchiladas. But they have to be homemade. Like store enchiladas restaurant enchiladas don't really do it. But somebody who can like make yummy chicken enchiladas, you got a girl for life. You got a girl for life. Oh, and some sour cream. Put them up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Love it.
So tell us, liquor or wine?
Neither. I don't drink.
Oh, okay. No problem. So then what would be like your favorite drink? Is it like soda or fruit juice?
Dr. Pepper, unfortunately.
Oh.
Yeah. And I hate to admit it, but I'm an addict. I have cut myself down to you can have no Dr. Pepper until Friday. That I had to, because I will not. I'll be like, yeah.
Oh no, that's terrible.
It is, isn't it?
Oh, Dr. that sugar. Pepper.
I just finished off one the other day and I'm like, you don't get no more. So I be trying to spread it out now. I get one Dr. Pepper. I'll be like, drink this much on Friday.
Oh,
drink
that much. It's so funny. Oh, no, you're like that with me and wine.
I'll be trying.
I'm trying, right? Exactly. Listen, we can't judge. There's no judgment here.
You see what I'm saying?
All right. So taking it back in the day, a little old school here. Who was your favorite cartoon character?
Let me see. I love so many cartoons. I don't know if anyone was my favorite. I just love, I like cartoons now. You know, I like the older cartoons. I don't know. I loved everything from Tom and Jerry. You know what I really liked?
Wow.
And I
think, okay.
Yeah. But you know what I really liked? And I think I liked it because of the memory that comes along with it. I don't know if you guys remember this one. I don't know how long it was on, but it was called Wait Till Your Father Gets Home. And it was, I don't know how long it was on, but I have a vivid memory of me and my mom coming home and, you know, trying to get everything settled because at 4 o'clock or 3:30, whatever, Wait Till Your Father came home. And it was this family cartoon. Okay. And I can't even remember what all the cartoon was about. I just know it was this family. And she would be like, wait till your father gets home. And I think because it's associated with a memory with my mom, how we would come in and we would hustle and then we would sit down on the couch, you know, and hug together. And we would take 30 minutes to watch that cartoon. Okay. So that may be my favorite because of the memory.
Okay. Wow. But you said Tom and Jerry. Oh, that's old
school. Yeah. Tom, Bugs Bunny, you know.
No. Oh, yes. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Bugs Bunny. Yes.
Looney Tunes is like, yes. When I was working for Warner Brothers, everything in my house was Looney Tunes.
Oh yes, honey.
Everything.
Oh yeah, that they cannot sleep on Looney Tunes, honey. Oh my gosh, they can't sleep on Looney Tunes. See, that's old school. Y'all don't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
They not knowing.
They not knowing. So were you ever into, or are you into like roller coasters? Have you gone skydiving or bungee jumping?
Okay, so funny you would ask that. I used to love roller coasters before, you know, I got older and realized the danger that was associated with it. So being young put me on all of them. After I got a little older, I was like, now what was wrong with me? So, but here's the thing. I would absolutely love to go skydiving, but my fear stops me because I feel like I'm going to end up in a doggone tree, y'all. And so I refuse to go, but I want to go so bad. So I think right now what I'm going to do is try to find some indoor skydiving and start with that, you know, and see what kind of rush that gives me. Bungee jumping. No. You won't have me going with my head first. Not I.
Okay.
Not the girl.
Okay. Well, at least you're going to do the indoor skydiving. That's
right. I'm like, but I still do. I really do. I keep, you know, I'm asking my husband, like, would you go with me? But I don't think I don't think I've convinced him yet.
Okay. All right. Just a couple more. What about your favorite candy?
You know what I love? I love cinnamon candies. They used, and I haven't seen them in a while, but they used to be about this big, little cinnamon candies. So I'll down some Red Hots in a minute, but I love the little cinnamon candies. And I could pop those. I had to stop eating them because I would be popping those three and four at a time. And I'd be
Dr. Pepper.
and the Dr. Pepper. So come on now. One vice. One, just one.
Oh God.
So I'm popping red candy. Right. And it was Dr. too Pepper. Much.
Oh my God.
But yes, I would have to say that I think that's my favorite because you can pop it and you could just keep on moving.
Okay. Okay. And then last one is what was your favorite thing to do as a child? Your favorite pastime?
Act, which is my favorite thing now. I love make-believe. Anything okay. That's make-believe, I absolutely love it. So I love to act, and I used to really, really love to write short stories.
Okay.
The acting stuck. The writing of short stories did not. So I do, again, I love journaling sure. And, you know, and things like that. But acting, I still love acting. I just went to a screening. Okay. Last weekend of an independent film that I did last year. So yes.
Yay. Yay. Well, I definitely yes, see absolutely how love it. The universe is at work here with the connection. Okay. Okay. Yeah. That was my thing back too. Like the yeah,
I love
that.
It. I love yeah. The world of make-believe.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. We want to have just a little bit of fun, learn a little bit about you.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful and thankful, you know, for you coming on here, blessing me, blessing the ladies listening, and
thank
if men
for
listening, of course,
me.
Blessing the men. What's next for you?
Right now, I am really trying to put together a few courses. I'm moving away a little bit from the one-on-one.
Okay.
To more of a group style. And so I'm putting some courses together. And so those will be out really soon. Okay. So I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. So for those who want to keep in touch, I would love to keep in touch with you. I would love for you to get on my email list where I share lots of tips and confidence coaching and things of that nature. But that is my next thing, to continue doing my speaking and to get those courses out.
Okay. Well, then let them know how they can connect with you.
Yes, you can connect with me on my website, which is www.shellymache.com. And I'll go ahead and spell that for you because nobody
Please
gets
do.
It usually. And that's shellymechette.com. So we can always you can always connect with me there, Instagram. And Facebook, LinkedIn is just my name, Shelly Mache. And for those of you who are searching and looking for ways to be able to connect with your passion and purpose, you can download my freebie, 5 Powerful Ways to Discover Your Purpose at shellymache.com/freebie.
I love it. Yay. Well, thank you. Thank you
thank
so much.
You.
Like I said, so many great nuggets. And I'm so grateful for you being willing to be that honest and transparent and vulnerable, you know, with us. That's such an element that, you know, I just think sometimes are missing, you know, that level. And it just, to me, it makes us come together even more and just recognize, like, see ourselves in each other.
Absolutely.
And just know
Absolutely.
That like we're so much more similar than we are alike, like, or different,
so true.
Excuse me, different. Yeah, we're so
true.
Like
and we're all, if we can just remember that everybody is on a journey.
Everybody.
Our journeys look different, but you're going to pass some of the same things
yeah.
that I passed and vice
yeah.
versa.
Right.
So as we're doing it, let's do it with kindness.
Yeah. Yeah, and compassion. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much. You know, we will definitely be connected. And I'm
absolutely
just grateful. And I'm sure my listeners are as well. Thank you
thank
so much.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.